It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and TalentStream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
Good morning, Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome to the show. We're glad that you've chosen to join us. Be sure to check us out on iTunes and SoundCloud. We'd love for you to subscribe as always so you don't miss anything. Or if you're listening to us on a replay and you want to listen live next time, venture over to supplychainnowradio.com. You'll find a big red button up at the top of the main page, which usually lists our next live show, and we'll make it really easy for you to tune in. So let's say good morning on this rainy Friday morning here in Atlanta to my talented co-hosts on another edition of our hashtag Supply Chain City series here on Supply Chain Now Radio. Good morning, Ben Harris, Director of Supply Chain Ecosystem Expansion with the Metro Atlanta Chamber.
Good morning, Scott. Good to be here.
Man, I feel like we have been in the same room all week this week.
We have indeed. Had a lot going on. I can't wait to talk all about that.
Absolutely. It's been Supply Chain Week here for sure in Georgia. And Will Hairway, good morning, founder and chief evangelist with Batbeat Marketing. How are you, Will?
I'm doing great.
And, you know, we don't always say this on every show, but, you know, Ben and Will both serve on the Apex Atlanta Executive Advisory Board, where we appreciate their leadership and their service. And glad to, again, spend so much time with you both this week.
It's been fun week. Been very
great
fun.
So before we tackle some of the top things known in supply chain now, let's welcome our featured guest today. We're going to be interviewing. First off, we have Larry Fast, the Southeast Region Director with the Association for Manufacturing Excellence. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. I've enjoyed learning about your week and in the warm-up conversation. And also, Blaine Malore, Director of Digital Supply Network at the Clorox Company. Good morning, Blaine.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you here as well. And looking forward to picking your brains on a variety of topics here momentarily. So as we were talking about, as we talk about some of the top things doing supply chain now, we've had a big week here in Georgia for the supply chain industry. We had a sold-out Atlanta Supply Chain Awards luncheon on Tuesday. We had a sold-out Georgia Logistics Summit up in Cartersville yesterday. And I'd love to get y'all's takeaways, a couple takeaways I had from these events. Ben, you know, we had Kevin Heath, Chief Procurement Officer for Georgia Pacific, was our keynote Tuesday, right?
Yep.
And our own Ben Harris had a fireside chat with Kevin, focused on a couple of themes, but certainly innovation, right?
Yep.
Big theme there. And one of the cool quotes that came out of that chat, which I thought you did a great job, by the way, is Kevin mentioned, instead of falling in love with the solution, fall in love with the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. And especially that's highlighted with what they're doing at their Point A Center for Supply Chain Innovation. I think, you know, they looked, you know, and we've had Kevin on the show before. Obviously, he's been a guest here and he kind of talked about what they were doing with Point A. But as they kind of looked at what they were doing around supply chain and procurement and so forth, and these were, you know, problems that they couldn't go solve on that's their right. own. They had to go out to industry and bring on members and maybe even some competitors in that space to talk about, you know, what are these common challenges in supply chain and how do we go solve them, you know, together, basically.
Progressive collaboration in supply chain is what I love about the Point A. And then we're going to be doing a live podcast from Point A at some point real soon. Now that we've gotten kind of past Tuesday, which is a big project,
yeah.
You know, Supply Chain Now Radio and Batbeat Marketing and the Chamber all were vested partners in that award show. But going back to something that to this quote from Kevin, you know, I think as leaders, I think oftentimes we can be head over feet about particular solutions. You know, that this is going to solve all of our ills, right? But oftentimes it can be kind of, you know, smoke and mirrors because it doesn't address the root cause of the problem,
right?
Yep. And Kevin kind of touched on that. And I love how he was encouraging folks to be more passionate about the problem first. You know, one other takeaway from Tuesday, and Will, you know, I know you had a front row seat,
yeah,
like all of us did. Mm-hmm. You know, as folks stood up and accepted that award, you know, some of the stories and remarks, you know, I think of ATLFreight.com that talked about a second chance company, and the folks from the ITI, the task force that tackled trachoma.
I was going to mention that one. Yeah, that was
Carla
very impressive.
Johnson.
Yeah, Carla
absolutely.
Johnson and very, yeah.
The Task Force for Global Health there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for that clarification. They are, and when you think about the supply chain in a space like that, it's literally life and death, or at least, you know, a sight or no sight.
Right.
It brings a whole new level of the noble mission to this profession. So I wish we'd given each of them an hour to tell their stories.
Sure.
And maybe next year we'll have on the podcast and get some of those stories out. But just a very rewarding day.
Yeah, and also, I don't remember the gentleman's name, but Ben and I spoke about this yesterday. I loved the TED Talk that the gentleman from...
Juanish Kabash.
Yep,
UPS.
From UPS did on transportation and the correlations to the human body, honestly, the way that it was a very, very good presentation, and certainly apropos for anyone that's lived in Atlanta for any amount of time, just talking about traffic and... moving around the city, moving around any urban city. It was inspiring, really.
It really was. In fact, we're going to add that. There's a link to that speech. We'll put it in the show notes. Juanish Kabash is a senior marketing leader with UPS. And to Will, to your point, he showed video. His analogy was, how can we eliminate all this waste in our transportation infrastructure in particular? And he focused heavily on traffic. And he compared it to the human body, who is extremely efficient, and kind of the flow, the vascular system. It was really a neat, very creative analogy.
At first
I was like, okay. And then as it laid it out and then packaged it, it really made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So we'll link that to his TED Talk in the show pages. And one last note on the awards. We've got a press release going out next week.
Yep.
Big, incredible friends over there at the Backbeat Marketing Team, which we're really appreciative as a media partner for our Supply Chain Awards.
They're putting it together as we speak, man. Right
fantastic.
Now.
Fantastic. Hot. A lot of energy in that room for the first year event. And, winners, which we'll talk about later, from, Haverty's to ATLFreight.com to the ITI initiative and the Task Force for Public Health, UPS, you name it. And it was a perfect capture in my mind of the unique type of collaboration that's in this city, in this area. So it was really neat to be a part of, and looking forward to building on that for next year.
Building on the success, for sure.
That's right.
It was a triumph.
So we could talk for the next 6 hours on Tuesday, we're going to move forward because we've got two outstanding guests to get to. But real quick, yesterday was the Georgia Logistics Summit, which is in its 11th year. Will and Ben and I and several others from the team, Ashley and lots of Talent Stream members, were all out there.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people were. It was sold out at 400 people up in Cartersville. And we talked about the ARP, the Appalachian Regional Port, right?
Yeah.
Now, as our listeners know, many states have implemented an inland port strategy, right? It's not just Georgia. Georgia just has had a successful first one here with ARP, and they're going to double down in Gainesville, where our friend Larry Fass hails from. But not only does it help, e-commerce is a big driver. We've talked about that before. So not only does these inland ports help satisfy those same-day, two-day delivery commitments, right? It's the expectation these days. But, of course, it's taken trucks and traffic off the already congested roads, which we can all appreciate, right?
Mm-hmm. What was the stat around that? It was about 50,000 trucks a year, at least, I think, is to start. And that's just one of the inland ports, not to mention both.
So. It was overwhelming figures.
Yeah.
I was going to touch on some of the things that we had gleaned around the driver challenges. But before I do, any other key, what was y'all's favorite part of the day yesterday? Favorite panel moment, speaker? What did y'all?
Probably that, honestly. Everything about the inland port, because I was, I didn't know that much about how the infrastructure worked and why it was so important. I had an idea, but to hear those guys talk about just the time that can be saved, the efficiencies, the money that can be saved. It makes total sense once you hear it laid out, but I didn't quite get it until I saw it presented. So that was definitely it. And the bit about Chattanooga being our biggest port city or whatever. I didn't know they were in the state, but I liked the analogy anyway.
Kind of counterintuitive there, but hey.
Yeah. Well, I'm from Memphis, which is Memphis, Tennessee, so I understood what they were trying to say.
There you go.
Yeah,
very clever.
Right.
We love Chattanooga.
We do.
Home of the Lookouts, right?
We sure do.
So talking back on trucks and driver challenges, right? If we've talked on anything through this is the 58th episode of Supply Chain Radio, if there's been one common thing we've talked about, it has been the driver gaps, right? Driver shortages, certainly one of the common themes. So yesterday, as a panel, we're touching on this subject, one of the panels, they shared currently we're estimated to have a 60,000 driver shortage today. That's projected to be 180,000 driver shortage by 2026.
Yeah.
So we don't have enough drivers coming in the industry. The average age, according to NPR, a recent piece from them, 55 years old, average age, and only 6% of commercial truck drivers are women. Huge opportunity. You know, we've talked about the Kathleen Edge quote from Southwire, where she said a few years ago, you can't begin to solve the skills gap until you effectively begin to address the gender gap. So we're going to see how, you know, the industry continues to try to solve this critical challenge, you know, mix of technology, you know, we'll see how the autonomous stuff.
Autonomous, right? Semi-autonomous, driverless, all the above.
Yeah. That's right.
I think semi-autonomous probably has the most potential right now. You know, we talk about the different phases of that being rolled out, but you know, when you actually still have a driver in the cab, you know, in case he has to take over at some point, which will happen.
Right.
Also, for, you know, if you're driving in town and in traffic, that's a lot easier for a driver to see that, notice that, and also make adjustments as necessary.
The quick decisions that need to be made in those environments versus being out on the open road where he could maybe let the driver, you know, let the computer do the work, and he could maybe, I don't know.
Just like airplanes.
Read a book.
Eat some Cheetos.
Well, it's just like we have with, you know, seriously, like, you know, commercial airplane pilots
exactly.
right now.
Yeah.
They do a lot of takeoff and landing, but most of the stuff in between is done by computer. So,
Well, you know, another topic we talked about Wednesday, not to change gears, but right before we dive in with Larry Fast, is we talked about cyber, you know, in this age of digital innovation and IoT and all this other cool stuff, cybersecurity, right? How, as we progress, it opens up new ways of folks doing that want to do bad things, do bad things. Mm-hmm. And so when I think of, hopefully we see that this addressed with autonomous and semi-autonomous and how these vehicles get connected to the, you know, the World Wide Web, the internet.
Internet of Things also.
Yeah, IoT. How can we prevent those certain folks that want to do ill will from being able to penetrate this critical part? You know, driving on 285 with the family, we're already going to have to overcome the hurdle of the driverless vehicle. Well, we also need to have peace of mind that is a protected from a cybersecurity standpoint. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how all that plays out, because we're going to have to. I mean, these shortages, I mean, there's no magic wand.
Well, you know, there was an interesting moment that Ben and I were sitting together, and we noticed it when it happened, was it was towards the end of the Q&A for the panel, right? And it was a college student stood up, and she was an upper-level college student, like a junior or a senior, and she remarked on the fact that she had been unaware, really, of the depth of the logistics industry and the supply chain industry until, like, 6 months before. Mm. Like, just was not aware of it and starting to understand the opportunities of it. And we actually joked that her professor who was up there probably seeded that question. And if so, good for her. That was smart marketing, and we like that.
We got to tackle. But you illustrate the challenge we got to tackle.
But yeah, that is the challenge. And I wonder how much of that is continuing to seep out, because we have been talking about the driver shortage really as long as I've been in supply chain. I remember talking about that literally 12 years ago, you know? So, And one of the panelists brought up the fact that a lot of people aren't aware of, you know, that some of these truck drivers make $200,000 a year, you know, and it's like all these, and that goes back to, if you ever listen to Mike Rowe, you know, and his whole thing
dirty
about
jobs,
dirty jobs and blue collar work. And I've heard him speak, and I know some of you guys have too, where he talks about, you know, students going into this massive level of debt for college, and they're not aware that you can make $150,000 out of college if you learn how to be a welder. Mm. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, one of the little twists on what you're saying here is, so the latest copy of Supply Chain Quarterly, which comes out from our friends at CSCMP.
Yep, it's a good one.
The editorial director, David Maloney, had perspective early in the magazine, and he talks about how a lot of the technologies that are all the rage now, like blockchain. Blockchain was actually, the technology itself was developed in 1991, but the application to use it is fairly recent, and how it's being used now and how it's revolutionizing the industry. Anyway, the main theme from his article is that it's not necessarily when the technology is developed, it's when the right application
That's
and
right.
timing comes to the market and it can be used in a different way. So really interesting piece to kind of talk different twist on what you're saying, Will.
Did Al Gore invent blockchain too?
Maybe. Ouch. Let's check with Malcolm.
Let's see.
And let's talk tariffs next, Will. All right. So
but, to the other side, at least. You gotta appreciate that, Scott.
We love it. common thread there. All right. So what a great week, though. I mean, really, to cap off this front end segment, award show on Tuesday, full house, just putting a spotlight on so many great stories here in the Metro Atlanta supply chain community. The Verizon event at the Chamber Wednesday, yeah, to the Georgia Logistics Summit Thursday. There are so many cool things happening in our industry, but also right here in our backyard. Okay, so let's talk to our first guest today here on Supply Chain Now Radio. We are welcoming in Larry Fast, the Southeast Region Director with the Association for Manufacturing Excellence. Good morning again, Larry.
Good morning.
I told y'all we were going to have some fun on the podcast today,
right? We are, yeah. This is a blast.
It is. it gets a little better, baby. All right. So Larry, before we dive into the AME, which I've been a member with a couple different times and have really enjoyed my experiences there, we've got a big upcoming event coming up. Before we get to that, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm an Indiana University graduate, business management degree.
Go Hoosiers.
Go Hoosiers.
Yeah. Big time of year.
Yeah. Well, we've had better times.
Okay.
But anyway, I had a military obligation in those days, so I spent 3 years of active duty in the Air Force, 3 years in the reserve, and then started a manufacturing career. Spent 35 years in the wire and cable business with two different companies, and was a senior manufacturing executive for 28 of those years. Mm. Since retirement 2007, I've authored a book called The 12 Principles of Manufacturing Excellence.
Bestseller?
Bestseller.
It's fantastic.
And sold enough that they wanted to do a second edition. So that was published in 2015. So that was an arduous task. Took two winners to do it. But it's really gratifying.
To Indiana winners or to Georgian winners?
Actually, they were Colorado winners.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was at our place in Winter Park, Colorado, mm-hmm, riding while I looked at the Rockies. So it was dirty work. Yeah. You know.
Well, now you also, beyond the books, which is a huge feat, and you know, a lot of folks don't get asked back to do a second edition. So what an honor there. Now, you also write for Industry Week online magazine, too, right?
I've been doing that for 5 years or so, and writing a column called Ask the Expert. We deal with leadership kinds of questions, lean manufacturing kinds of questions, and it's been very well received. A lot of fun to do it.
Yep. And so we're going to talk about AME in a second, but you were sharing in the warm-up conversation some of your most rewarding volunteer work that you've ever done, and you're just getting back from a trip to Indiana. Tell us really quickly about what you're doing there.
Well, I was trying to find a way to pay it forward in my hometown, which has been hit with a severe depression the last 3 or 4 decades. So I've teamed up with a high school there. We have transformed what used to be a manufacturing lab into an advanced manufacturing center. Mm. They've got new CNC equipment, some other things. We also create a scholarship for those blue-collar kind of kids that are seeking a good-paying job sufficient to support a family, but don't have any real college ambition. Mm. They want the skills training. So we've got harmonized classes between a high school and a technical school that's about 25 miles away, and they can transfer as much as one semester's work from the high school directly to the technical school. So really rewarding work. It's great working with students. They, believe it or not, even teenagers have really absorbed and applied. Just so proud of them.
Absolutely. Well, that you know, I applaud your efforts. We need more folks like you that have been there and done it, that want to pay back and really invest into building the pipeline coming in the industry. Because we all know, whether it's driver shortages or just manufacturing talent or supply chain, Will, to your point, and we got to plant these seeds of awareness so folks know there's lucrative careers available in these industries. So thanks for what you do, and we look forward to getting an update soon. So let's switch gears over to AME, the Association for Manufacturing Excellence. Tell us a little bit about the organization.
Well, AME was founded in 1984, so it's been around for a while. There were 7 kind of early continuous improvement zealots that created the association. I only know two of those personally. One of them is Robert Doc Hall. Many of you may have heard that name. Hmm. He really made the global picture with his book Zero Inventory back in the day, and has just done tremendous work over the years on behalf of AME. The other gentleman is a former member on our board from Tennessee, and his name escapes me at the moment, so I'll call you Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so AME has been around for a while, and from my involvement, Larry, you know, it's really dedicated to sharing best practices and proliferating manufacturing excellence and success to folks that are in the industry, folks that maybe want to get in the industry. It's been really a fascinating organization to be a part of.
They've really evolved a lot, and there's only 15 salaried people at the headquarters in the Chicago wow. area. All the rest are just thousands and thousands of volunteers that put on the workshops, put on the Lean Summits, the International Conference, and so forth. So their tagline is learn, share, and grow. Mm. It's really an organization to educate and train people at either the beginning, intermediate, or advanced levels.
Yep. So, you know, one of the last times you and I collaborated together was when AME came to Atlanta probably 3 or 4 years ago, and we were hosted by Chick-fil-A's Hatch, which is their innovation mm-hmm. center, which now at the time it was kind of they weren't marketing it just yet like a lot of companies at the time, but now it's, you know, they're opening doors much more so mm-hmm. and inviting folks in, and they gave us a great tour, and we had a lot of great conversations around sharing best practices, and so it's really neat to collaborate with you on that. Is that par for the course for what AME does and how they, you know, the types of events that they invite professionals to come in and plug in with?
Well, yeah, the big, of course, is our annual international conference, which is coming up in October in Chicago. And by the way, in 2021, we'll be hosted in Atlanta for the first time ever. So we're
Love
really
it.
Excited
Phenomenal.
About that.
So the why do folks, whether you're individuals and you're joining as an individual, or maybe you're an organization and you sign up your corporate team or what have you, why do folks join AME?
They're involved with continuous improvement at one degree or another, and the workshops we offer attract them to get additional education and training. Mm. The international conference is huge. We get people from all over the world coming in for that. And even our local Lean Summit that's coming up in May, we've got a couple of international people coming in for that. And, you know, it's just really a global organization, mm-hmm. though we only have structure in the UK and North America.
Lots of passion in the organization, clearly.
Absolutely.
So your role within the organization, you're a volunteer leader for the Southeast region. Is that right?
I'm one of the directors on the board.
Okay.
We have at least one director from each of the states and Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And been on the board 10 years. I've served as a program chair and a membership chair a few times. And am the program's chair for our Lean Summit coming up in May.
That's right. So let's go ahead and talk about that. That's Supply Chain Now Radio is pleased to be a media partner and sponsor of that event. And we were getting a quick update from you earlier in the warm-up, and it seems like registration has been brisk, and folks have really...
It has. We're very pleased with the start we're off to with registrations. The event is being held May 6th to the 9th. And you will get more opportunity to learn in less than 72 hours than you ever thought possible. we're going to start on Monday afternoon at 5 o'clock with a welcoming reception. We've got exhibitors and sponsors that will be there, of course, including
Broadcast
Supply Chain Now. Yeah,
that's right.
So we're excited about that. Then on Tuesday, every attendee gets the opportunity to take two plant tours in the greater Atlanta area. We have a total of 15 tours during the event, 13 companies represented. So there's a rich mix, Harrius Quartz of North America, Ingersoll Rand / Train, Caterpillar, ZF, Packaging Specialties of Georgia, Power Partners, to name a few. Mm. And then Wednesday is all-day workshops, and there are six of those, which cover a broad range of topics from CADA to leadership, creating metrics and so forth. Mm. There's going to be something there for everybody. We've got two keynote speakers, Mark Braun and Crystal Davis, that will both be great to listen to and share their vast experiences. The cost is $9.95 per AME member and $10.95 for a non-member.
Okay. Lots of learning, sharing, and growing seems like it's going on at the conference.
Absolutely.
Here. So what, you know, so plant tours clearly as a one of the big reasons that folks come out, and you know, we all, I think, in this room can really appreciate plant tours. Larry, in your words, why are plant tours so important to, you know, driving continuous improvement and benchmarking and all that good stuff?
I guess I would answer by asking the question, how many of you have ever been in a factory and didn't learn anything?
Great.
You know? So as good an operation as you have, whether you're in advanced stages or beginning, you're always going to find a new idea. So, I mean, that's just the best way to get exposure to other kinds of thinking that hasn't been brought to your staff table yet.
Yep. The power to see and to hear and exchange and ask questions, you know.
Absolutely.
We're taking, so Apex Atlantis is working with UGA's supply chain program professors. And we've got a tour set with Caterpillar, which I know is on the list of tours for the Lean Atlanta Summit.
Right.
We're taking college students into what probably will be their first plant tour ever. And so to your point, because you can understand, you can read it, and not to pick on anyone in academia, but you can read it in a book, you can hear about it, you can tune into a podcast about it, but until you see it, until you see the workers and the process and the pieces and just the flow, you got to experience it.
You
to
bet.
Your point.
Yeah. You bet.
So now the Lean Summit, May 6th through the 9th here in Atlanta.
Add one thing?
Yeah, please.
I didn't mention Thursday, which is the third tour, and then we'll adjourn at noon on Thursday.
Okay. And are you going to be giving a presentation as part of Lean Summit?
I am not. As a program chair, I'm going to be checking in on all six of them.
Oh, okay.
Making sure we're taking good care of our speakers and our attendees.
And we've got limited space, right? So we're limited to about 200 people. So this is not, you know, if you want to get a seat, you better act sooner rather than later, right?
That's right.
And we are, as Larry mentioned, we're going to be broadcasting live that night of the networking dinner, Monday, May 6th. And we're looking forward to that. And we'll be announcing our lineup of interviews in the next couple of weeks. So, Larry, you know, you've been a volunteer with AME for about, I think you were saying, about 10 years or so. Is that?
Well, I've been on the board 10 years. I've been going to international conferences. I've probably been to 20 or so of those over the years during my career. But the board work's been particularly rewarding.
It's like you're reading my mind, because I was going to ask you, what's been for you? And we talk to folks all the time about industry associations and picking and choosing one and really diving deep and building relationships. Rather than joining 30, right?
Mm-hmm.
To tell us, you know, what have you valued the most out of your experience with AME?
Yeah, I mean, it's really the learn, share, grow thing. And, you know, I've done a number of workshops in the greater Atlanta area and had an opportunity to see lots of plants and interact with some great people. And it's just fun to have that kind of an exchange with folks from the area.
So you can learn more at AME.org. And there's also a specific site set up for the AME Atlanta 2019 Lean Summit. It's not as easy to share, but if you're interested to our listeners, you can shoot us a note, info@supplychainnowradio.com. We'll make sure you get all the information. Or, Larry, if someone wants to reach out to you and ask questions or you know, pick your brain about manufacturing or maybe this Indiana project that is so neat to hear about, how do folks get in touch with you?
My email address is Larry@PathwaysLLC.net.
Fantastic. Well, Larry Fast, appreciate your time here on Supply Chain Now Radio. We're really excited to be partnering with AME for their upcoming Lean Summit. And, of course, just 2 years away, we'll have the International Summit coming to town right here for the first time in Metro Atlanta.
Very exciting. Fantastic.
You bet.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
All right. That was Larry Fast, Southeast Region Director with the Association for Manufacturing Excellence, and more to come on their summit in May. Up next today on Supply Chain Now Radio, we welcome Blaine Malore, Director of Digital Supply Network with the Clorox Company. Good morning again, Blaine.
Good good morning. I'm glad you got that title right the second time there.
Okay. Thank you very much. Hey, continuous improvement, right? Improvement.
Every Absolutely. Time.
I'm going to tell you what it means here in a minute.
Okay.
So it'll be easier.
I like your style already. So before we talk about the organization and your role, tell us about yourself, Blake.
All right. That's a dangerous question. I don't know how much time we have. I'm actually a transplant from the West Coast, grew up Oregon, Idaho, California, and living in Atlanta here for a number of years. Really love it. My background is primarily technical engineering, which a lot of folks in supply chain, when you think about it, really kind of start in that area. Operations management within a plant, worked in logistics, worked in our business planning function in our headquarters in California, done a number of roles around the company over about 25 years, and for a year now have been doing this job called Digital Supply Network, and we'll talk a little bit more about what that is, but very happy to be with Clorox, very happy to be here in the Atlanta area again.
And you're going to be celebrating your 25th anniversary soon.
Yeah, 25 years.
So tell us about, first off, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's quite a
big
feat.
Big congrats, yeah.
Especially in this day and age where, you know, 3 years and gone, lots of transition.
Sure.
Give us a few observations on how you've seen the company evolve in your 25, soon to be 25 years.
Yeah, it's great. So from a corporate standpoint, I would say we're a very conservative company, over 100 years old. There's a lot of things that really haven't changed, which is a good thing. Mm. So our values of work together to win, do the right thing, stretch for results, take personal ownership. We've really had those values for a very long time, and continuity of purpose and values has really been a strong point. We hold the number one or number two spot with leading brands in the categories we're in, and that's been kind of what we've done. And we provide, you know, a nice shareholder return for our investors. So that's kind of who we are. And that part really hasn't changed. The part that has changed, which I think everyone's experiencing, is a change in technology. So I mentioned kind of my engineering background, worked in manufacturing plants. Didn't seem that long ago that we were using relay logic and PLC2s and and now we have, you know, intense amounts of technology and basic sensors that are connected directly to the internet. So obviously the technology expansion and the help it's brought the company, that's been the biggest change.
Mm. You know, you mentioned PLC is way in my earlier days of recruiting. We were recruiting for a maintenance engineer, maintenance mechanic working on PLCs. And it was about Allen Bradley's. And We got a most interesting resume submission. They put a cover letter together and a resume together, and they addressed it to Mr. Allen Bradley. And hey, you know,
there you go.
I love the creativism there. But anyway, so a lot hasn't changed going back to the company culture.
Correct.
Can you talk about maybe one of the most enduring aspects of that company culture?
I think out of our values, the work together to win. So work together to win means you do your role very, very well, and you also help others play up in the organization. So we're just over a $6 billion company, but I think that we're probably pretty lean in terms of staffing, especially within our supply chain organization. We'll have a person that's over a large group of other people or responsibilities. So it is really important that you take personal ownership of that, but that you play your part in the play so that we're all successful. Mm-hmm. And you see that, and you see people helping each other be successful in their jobs, and it actually causes a lot of growth. And I've liked that. People often say, you know, I'm excited to be at a company for the people. That's very true, but it's not just that you like to go bowling on the weekends together. It's that they're actually really talented at what they do, and they help you be better.
Mm. So and a lot of folks, y'all've got a considerable footprint here in Metro Atlanta. A lot of folks may not be aware of that footprint. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I will. You know, we've actually had quite a migration to the Atlanta area. We're an Oakland, California-based company. Mm-hmm. But over the last, I would say, about 10 years, we've moved a lot of our product supply functions here to the Metro Atlanta area. So in the Alpharetta area, we have basically the hub of our product supply function, which includes procurement and the traditional supply chain functions, transportation, planning, those things. We also have a very large manufacturing facility down by the airport in Forest Park. It's been there for a number of years. We manufacture bleach, but we also manufacture Pine-Sol, 409, Tilex, a lot of brands that people may not know are part of Clorox. And then we have a corporate engineering facility in the Kennesaw area. So we have pretty big footprint here in Atlanta. We still have a presence in the Oakland area, but a lot of our supply chain function is now here in Atlanta. And, you know, I'll mention as well, we talked a little bit about brands. I mentioned some of them there, but we also own and operate the Glad brand, Brita, Kingsford Charcoal, Hidden Valley Salad Dressing, KC wow. Masterpiece Barbecue Sauce.
Wow.
No clue.
Yeah.
Had no clue.
Yeah. Renew Life, probiotics, Burt's Bees, natural lip balm. So a lot of different things. And all these businesses are run fully integrated within our company. So if you're working in supply chain on transportation, you're transporting Kingsford Charcoal in the peak of the season, and you're also transporting and responsible for Burt's Bees and just kind of a normal thing. So a lot of diversity of product and portfolio.
That's got to be a big challenge, I would think, from a supply chain standpoint, especially, you know, we talked about, Blaine, on the digital side, which really you're tasked with. How's that really changed since, you know, you've come on board with the company and so forth?
Yeah, so we've had a lot of mergers and acquisitions to get to where we are now. And I will tell you, for example, we have 13 different ERP systems that we operate globally. Wow. And there's others that have more. But so that has its own challenges just from an ERP standpoint and technology. But we've gotten good at integrating companies and providing value and using the distribution network that we have with our relationship with some pretty large retailers here in the U.S. We have very high household penetration with most of our brands. It's an opportunity for us to introduce new products. So there are some challenges, and that's part of what we're trying to fix.
I would say your market share is pretty healthy. Just the name recognition of all the products and lines you've just shared. It's like you've been taking a peek into my cupboard. We're big fans, big fans. Hidden Valley Ranch, we go through that quite a bit. Anyway, so let's talk about, you know, you've described what must be a pretty impressive, incredible supply chain organization at the Clorox company. Let's talk about some of y'all's current priorities when it comes to the supply chain at Clorox.
Great. So that's really what I've been tasked with. I've been in this role about 12 months. And if we look at our supply chain right now, we have aging technology that we use to run our supply chain. So our current version of our ERP system is about 15 years old. Our transportation management software is about 12 years old. And I could go down the list. And a lot of these things are not supported anymore. They're reaching end of life. And they didn't really have the connectivity and functionality that we would like to have and that's available today, right? So we're going through our entire supply chain. We've taken a couple foundational projects to get us started. I'll give you some examples of those. So we are in the middle of implementing a global business planning tool. We've partnered with Kinaxis. We're using their rapid response product, and we'll be using that as our global planning tool starting next year. It's a three-year project. So that product has a tremendous amount of capability beyond what I would call our pencil, paper, spreadsheet version that we're using in some businesses to plan today. So planning is important. Transportation management, we talked about that in the intro. You got to be really good at transportation now, given the constraints in the market, given the number of dollars that we spend on transportation, and giving retailers expectations on knowing where their stuff is in transit to them. So we're making a big investment. We've partnered with Transplace. We'll be going live with them next year as well. A lot of new tools and capabilities within that offering. And then we're working on electronic quality management systems. So we do operate in some regulated spaces. We have FDA requirements. And we've got a lot of filing cabinets with paper copies of FDA records. And I don't want to buy another fireproof filing cabinet. Yeah. So we've made some investments there. So that's just a flavor of three of the foundational projects that we're working on right now to modernize our supply chain. There's value in all those projects, but it also gives you capabilities that keep you competitive as retailers and consumers look to CPG companies for capabilities that once were unique and now are kind of the standard and the norm and the expectation.
So, Blaine, I wonder, I think a lot of our listeners would be interested in your approach to overhauling your system. It sounds like you're taking sort of a piece-by-piece approach, and you're not just going with one best-of-breed vendor that's going to handle it all. You're going to Kinaxis, you're going to Transplace. Is that kind of your strategy as you go and have these things connect?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we've had some large companies come in and say that their software will provide functionality in all of these right. areas. And we don't really think that's accurate. Maybe it has functionality, but it's not best in class. So we've chosen to go for best in class. Now, that makes it a little bit more complicated because now I have to integrate
in each area. Like you're going TMS, you go, yeah, got it.
Yeah, that's the approach we're taking. So we want the best capabilities. And we don't believe that everything in the world has to resolve in an ERP system now.
Right.
And that if we can get the best product, top right box in any of those areas, that's the best thing to do. And it's a little bit more painful because you have to do multiple integrations to different systems. But at the end of the day, we want the best tools and technologies to run the supply chain.
Right. And I guess, and what's funny is I'm sure you're finding that everybody will promise that everything can integrate with everything else.
Correct. Exactly.
It's no problem.
Oh, yeah.
We got that handled.
Just call your IT guy here.
I was just curious, too. What are some of the other driving factors and influencers that are you using to make some of those decisions? You know, analyst firms, you know?
Yeah. So, we use some external consultants to kind of help us, Gartner, the traditional supply chain experts, to say who's the best in class.
Right.
But a little bit of this is kind of blazing your own trail here. So as we go out and we do benchmarking and we look for a CPG company that has a totally connected digital supply chain, I haven't found one yet.
Yeah.
Maybe some other industries, but people are at different stages. People are further along than others. People are at the same place. There's really no one way to do it, and we're charting our own course here. And the driver, again, is to remain competitive, to be able to answer simple questions from retailers when your R&D departments work really hard on developing a product, your salesperson has sold it in, and the retailer calls and says, hey, I want 10% more on a promotion. I need to be able to answer that question in real time versus kind of phone a friend right now and call the plant, call the warehouse, call the truck, find the stuff. I need real-time visibility to everything going on in my supply chain.
So that begs another question. If you're looking for that kind of real-time visibility, how are you going to get that with all of the, like, with all of the disparate vendors working on different pieces of your supply chain?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think most of the software packages have their own control tower or dashboard, and I'll use that term loosely here, within the package. So if I'm interested in something going on in transportation, I certainly have a macro level view, I will have when we go live, of everything happening in transportation in that system. Same with planning system and quality management. My view is that I capstone all of this with a supply chain wide control tower software where I can see all these elements concurrently. And I haven't found the unlock for that yet in terms of product or capability, but I'm looking for that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to ask one question about also, with these technologies, when it comes to the cloud and so forth. And Larry, I'd love for you to weigh in on this too. When you see that from a manufacturing and execution systems and so forth and ERP, are you seeing most companies out there being a lot more receptive to the cloud in whether it's public or private cloud and so forth?
I would say so.
Yeah.
In fact, there's just so much in the news now about, IIoT 4.0 kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the things Blaine's talking about, I mean, you're stepping up the state of the art with that kind of thinking. So it's great stuff.
How about for Clorox specifically, Blaine?
Well, I think it's in one way it's we're there. So all the applications that I mentioned earlier are cloud based, and we're not going to bring them inside. We're not going to customize them. That's been a problem. We don't have to. They're out of the box, which is great. But where we get into problems with security, and we talked about that in the transportation segment, is plant floor operations. So just like you don't want the autonomous truck being taken over by a hacker, I don't want my line 5 conveyor being shut down by a hacker. So that bridge between plant floor network and corporate network that I use to run my supply chain, haven't unlocked that yet. That is a big, big issue that we're going to have to get past.
Sure. And let me speak to that. We were in, I had lunch with a manufacturer in the last couple of weeks, and due to a phishing attack, they lost at least a week of production time where their production lines were shut down here in the Metro Atlanta area. And, that's a scary thing, especially, and we talked about this on Tuesday. I think I incorporate this in every conversation I'm having because, we all getting these emails each day with folks that are attempting to get us to click or open an attachment or what have you, and they're getting savvier and savvier and savvier. And so as a manufacturer, you know, that would be a big fear of not just getting personal data and information compromised, but also, you know, losing production time, losing control of things.
Absolutely. There's certainly a health and safety aspect of it as well. If you think about the control systems that you use to handle wastewater treatment at your facilities, palletizers, this AGVs, there's a huge question there. And I'm not really sure we've got the answer yet. So our first goal here is the traditional supply chain tools around transportation planning, planning, warehouse management. As we get into the manufacturing space, I think the real unlock is connecting those manufacturing systems to everything else. So now my person in the planning department can really see how their urgent order for Costco is being run online, whatever, in a plant somewhere in real time.
And it's not... Not to put Clorox on the spot in terms of having all the answers when it comes to cybersecurity. Every company is trying to figure this out these days, whether you're in manufacturing, or whether you're logistics, or whether you're professional services. You know, folks that want to put a ransom out there or do other things, it's just prevalent. All right. So I hate to shift gears from this very interesting kind of the foundational phase of Clorox's digital transformation, but I do want to talk sustainability because recently Clorox was ranked number 7 on Barron's 100 most sustainable U.S. companies list, which is impressive alone, but number 1 amongst consumer packaged goods, so CPG. So can you share a couple of things that that Clorox is doing that has led to those types of rankings?
Yeah, so I'll give you two categories as we think about sustainability. And the first is really kind of impact to community and what we're doing to help folks in the communities that we operate. We have a very strong Clorox Foundation where between the company and employees, we've given over $20 million last year to different organizations that need help. So you'll see that we're very involved in the community. We also have some very interesting programs that leverage our core product, bleach. So we started in 2011 a safe water program in rural areas of Peru where we own and operate operations to disinfect drinking water. And we've got a similar program going on right now in Africa where we hope to, by next year, treat drinking water for over 4 million people using bleach. Yeah. So there's a lot that we're doing and have done in the community. Specifically, within our manufacturing operations, back in 2011, we set some goals for greenhouse gas reductions, energy reductions, water usage reductions. And they were pretty strong, 20% and higher. And today, even though we're a year away from the end of our goal, we've done a lot. And in most cases, we're ahead of our 2020 goals in all those categories. And a lot of that is just grassroots efforts done by great people in our plant locations here in the U.S. and internationally, working on getting to zero landfill distribution and working internally within their own organization to reduce water use, energy use. And so that's been a part of the company for a very long time. And I think, you know, over the years, as we've got into businesses like Burt's Bees, who really are all about natural, they've helped us on our journey to where we knew we wanted to go originally.
Well, you know, one of the common threads I've really can appreciate in this show is from Clorox and from Larry and your community involvement is just giving back. And when I hear numbers like 20 million and I hear Peru and Africa, it's not just, you know, the small things. These are efforts that are really largely moving the needle for, you said, 4 million people in Africa.
4 million, yeah.
Clean drink, and it's something we take advantage or take for granted every day is being able to, you know, drink whatever comes out of the faucet. You know, you don't even think about it.
Yeah.
And so I really appreciate what Clorox is doing in that regard at home and abroad. So kind of shifting gears from sustainability as we wrap up this segment, let's talk about a couple other trends in manufacturing that you're kind of keeping your finger on the pulse of, Blaine.
Yeah, so certainly I would say it's a continued trend around understanding what's going on in your operations. So I know Larry knows a lot more about lean than I do. We've been on a lean journey for a number of years now, but what we're finding is there are new tools and technologies that we can leverage to help us further drive out loss and improve reliability within our organization. So we're getting deeper into that right now. And one of the programs that I'm trying to incorporate into our overall digital supply network journey is more investment in manufacturing execution technology. So if you look at our operations today, we'll have a systems that focuses on LEDs. We'll have a different disconnected plant quality system that uses statistical process control. I want something that can tie all of these things together. I want to incorporate wearables for quality inventory. So there's a ton of technology out there that is new that we can use in the plant floor to help us improve reliability and drive out loss in our manufacturing organization.
It may be a shorter list. What are y'all not doing to drive the organization forward? I mean, it's just the trend, the digital transformation that you're talking to, that is such a large project in and of itself. And then to hear about some of the sustainability and some of the continuous, the traditional, I'll call it, continuous improvement initiatives. Y'all are not staying still. You're not resting on your laurels.
No, you really, really can't. You know, so we have growth targets of 3-4% per year. Those don't come easy when you're a large company. We have profitability improvements each year. It's well-known public knowledge here that our product supply function delivers over $100 million a year in cost savings year over year. Yeah. That gets more difficult every year to look for new opportunities. So there's always something to do to drive value and to support incremental sales and volumes, whether it's through organic growth or acquisitions. Yeah, a lot going on, but a lot of opportunity. And, you know, part of it is supporting our brands as well. Mm-hmm. You don't stay around for 100 years with number one or number two brands without putting in some work and stretching for results, which are, you know, part of our
and getting some wins.
You have to get some wins. Yeah, you got to have a lot of wins to stay number one or number two all the time.
Well, appreciate you coming in today, as busy as you are. I know you've got a big project next week you're leading. Would love to have you back and really maybe do another check-in on this digital transformation project that you have. I think our listeners find that fascinating. Yeah. Because we're all trying to move that ball forward in that space.
Will, that's such a common, you know, there's so many people that are the software ages so fast in this era. You know, 12 years ago, that was the best, you know, the best logistics and supply chain software you could have had. But it's 12 years old and it was working pretty good. But you've got to. So I think that's probably one of the things that our listeners are most interested in. Is like, how do you tackle something like that? Mm. And it sounds like you're tackling it piece by piece and trying to make the best decision on each link in the supply chain as you go.
Yeah, it is a very common theme. And some folks that are outside of manufacturing and CPG have actually kind of outpaced us a little bit. We're talking a little bit earlier today about e-com and what Amazon has done for their supply chain, not even in the supply chain industry 20 years ago, and now completely connected supply chain from you can have any bit of information about what you want to buy, when you need to order it, how long it takes to get it, to a picture of it delivered at your doorstep. Yeah. And that's for a, you know, $12 box of light bulbs where, you know, I'm selling truckloads of products that's $50,000, $60,000 in some cases. We need to be able to bring that kind of connectivity and visibility to the supply chain to the manufacturing, the CPG industry.
That's great.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that going to happen more for you guys, Blaine, you know, as direct-to-consumer, you know, for manufacturing becomes more and more? I mean, that's been one thing in the CPG sector that has really started to permeate is more direct-to-consumer. Is that something that you guys are really looking at hard?
We do that on some of our businesses right now. So the healthcare, the Burt's, and the Renew Life probiotics, we're already there. I don't know if that'll really happen for our core brands over time. But we want those capabilities to be able to go there if we need to go there. Even our relationship with Amazon requires more tools, technology, process on our side to handle what they want.
So we're going to have you back.
Great.
We'll get an update on these projects.
Happy to.
Really have enjoyed your time with us. Blaine Mellor, Director, Digital Supply Network with the Clorox Company. Thanks
very
so
good.
Much, Blaine.
Thank you.
All right, what a show.
What a show, man.
We could dive into several extra hours, but we want to carve out a little bit of time here at the end to talk about some upcoming events. In particular, we want to throw this out there. So on the heels of a successful first year Atlanta Supply Chain Awards, which there'll be some news about what we're going to do in 2020 soon enough, but part of the aim there was to create scholarships, at least, you know, so Apex Atlanta partnered with the Metro Atlanta Chamber, which partnered with the CSC and P Atlanta Roundtable. And part of that aim there was to create scholarships, especially for veterans that are looking to transition into supply chain. So we've already got some irons in the fire with some of our
yeah.
partners like Vetlanta and some other groups. But we really want to find veterans and some other folks that are in need and that really need that a certification, whether it's an APIC certification or whether it's the Great Leap program at Georgia Tech.
Yep.
Ben and Will, I mean, we all have talked about that before.
Phenomenal program.
But we want to figure out how to these folks that have the need, we marry it with these resources that we're going to continue to grow. And so if you're listening to us, and especially if you're a veteran that is looking to transition into supply chain, or if you're maybe a veteran that's looking to kind of advance your career and you don't quite have the means to bootstrap that, send me a note to EVP for Executive Vice President at apixatlanta.org. On the heels of this event Tuesday, we've got some resources, and we want to go ahead and match that with a couple folks in need. So shoot us a note, and more information will come on that. Will, you were going to say something about
I was just going to say, because we talked about it, and Malcolm actually sent this to me while the show was going on. So if you wanted to, I was going to give you a quick overview of our winners from Tuesday.
Great.
Okay, so we just talked about sustainability in the supply chain. So the Sustainability Excellence Award winner for the Atlanta Supply Chain Awards, that was Halstead International.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Transportation Provider of the Year, that was ATLFreight.com. Freight Forwarder of the Year came to our friends down the street here in Glen Lake, UPS.
Also host sponsor.
Yep. The Sourcing Excellence Award, that was AAOP. They didn't come, as I remember, but somebody accepted it for them.
It was RCOP.
That's who it was.
RCOP. It's the distribution arm of Arby's.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Oh, okay, now I remember. Sorry about that. So the Warehousing and Fulfillment Excellence Award, that was Huddle House.
Yep.
Great breakfast there. Supply Chain Innovation of the Year, that was our friends with Haverty's.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Supply Chain Excellence, that was Exide was one.
And the second technologies and the ITI International Trachoma Initiative, which is the task force for public health.
For global health.
Global health. God, and I got that right.
Blaine, I'm going to let you guess who in Atlanta won the Excellence in Supply Chain Aviation Award.
Oh, wow. It better be Delta.
Close.
That's the only correct answer.
Well, Hartsfield International.
Hartsfield, again.
Which was recently, like and maybe Malcolm Schuster, they were recently ranked again as the world's number one airport.
21 consecutive years now.
There we go. Thank you, Ben.
And then the Supply Chain Pioneer Award was Don Ratliff at Georgia Tech. Mm. So always glad to
see
him.
A true pioneer and stalwart in the industry. He's just had a phenomenal career.
Caps, thank you, Malcolm, and thank you, Will.
Yeah. Good job, Malcolm.
So Don Ratliff, not only was he co-founder of CAPS Logistics, but he also was co-founder of the Georgia Tech Supply Chain Logistics Institute, which mm-hmm. we partner with so much from an APIC and CSCMP and chamber standpoint. In fact, Tim Brown, who leads that, was part of the panel Wednesday night at the Verusen event, and that was really neat to collaborate with him once again this week. Ben, go ahead.
Just had a couple of events. I didn't know if we were going to go over events or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
A couple things to keep on your calendars, at least here in Supply Chain City. We've got MRO Americas, actually. So if you're in anywhere in maintenance, repair, and operations for aviation or aerospace, that is April 9th through the 11th, the Georgia World Congress Center here in Atlanta. So he's going to be a huge show here. We've also got in Chicago coming up, ProMat. Always a phenomenal event.
Y'all both going?
I'm going.
I might be going.
Working out the backbeat marketing private jet.
Well, it's our spring break, too. I got to work that one out with the
It is always a tough time. They seem to love spring break week. It's kind of the first or second week in April, so that's one other event. And then Transparency, which is FreightWaves event, of course, is coming up first week of May
as well.
What
the Truck. We love their podcast.
What the Truck, man.
That's their podcast that's on, is that on XM or something?
Sirius. Yeah, Sirius XM.
Chad Prevost. Yeah. They drink beer and talk trucking.
I love it. And we're big fans here. Larry, you were going somewhere.
Just want to put a cap on the 2019 Lean Summit here in Atlanta.
Yep.
Show up at the Wyndham Galleria in Atlanta at 3 o'clock to check in, 5 o'clock the opening reception, and we'll get you on your way home at noon on Thursday.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, we only have – how many companies from Georgia signed up so far?
Only one.
Oh, wow. That's
folks,
opportunity.
We can do better.
We got 9 from California.
This is Supply Chain City. Come on.
That's right.
So definitely, for Larry, you definitely need to make sure.
And what did the congressman say yesterday, that we're the number one state to do business?
6 years in a row.
Yeah, 6 years in a row.
6 years in a row. Ric Flair territory.
That's right. Oh, woo!
Yeah, come on out. Learn, share, and grow.
So back on this lean side, that will sell out. That will sell out. So Georgia companies or companies in general, you're going to want to act sooner rather than later and get a seat, because just like the Supply Chain Awards Tuesday and the Summit Thursday, you know, 2 months ago, we didn't think we were going to sell out, and it, inevitably it did. So you need to act now. AME.org, or send a note to the show, and we'll get you hooked up on that link for the Atlanta 2019 Lean Summit here.
I got one more event.
Yep.
Atlanta.
Great one.
Atlanta. Now, it's at the train. It's
Train Depot.
The Freight Depot. I've never been to it, but I'm intrigued.
Right next to the state capitol.
I'm going to go to it with my client, Native, who provides supply chain for farms and back to, you know, farm-to-table restaurants and schools and all kinds of cool stuff. Yep. But yeah, that's the kind of thing they're talking about, sustainability and farm-to-table and all kinds of...
Urban farming.
Urban farming.
Yeah. Huge.
Yeah.
Urban farming, urban supply chain,
is
big topic.
April the 14th and 15th.
Thank you.
Masters Sunday, so I don't know how well they'll do on Sunday, but Monday is going to be a huge day. Yeah.
All right. Well, as y'all can tell, as our listeners can tell, there's no shortage of events to come out in Atlanta. We're going to finish up with one more. We're a proud media partner of EFT's 3PL and Supply Chain Summit in Atlanta on June 10th through the 12th. Home Run lineup speakers, Land O'Lakes, Uber Freight, Cisco, UPS, DHL Supply Chain, many more. You can check that out at EFT.com, or you can shoot us a note just at the going back to the EVP at apixatlanta.org email address. You can send us a note and we'll get you the information. And we are going to be broadcasting live from that event right here in Supply Chain City. So looking forward to that event in June. Okay. So one last listener's note, all the events that we just heard about, we're going to try to gather all those notes and put it on the show, the dedicated show page, and make it easier for our listeners to click and find the information. Of course, we've thrown out a variety of email addresses. Let us know how we can serve as a resource for you. Big thanks to our guest today, Larry Fast, Southeast Region Director with the Association for Manufacturing Excellence. Thanks so much, Larry.
Thank you.
Hit a home run as expected. Two home runs today. Grand Slam, Blaine Malor, Director, Digital Supply Network with the Clorox Company. Thanks so much, Blaine.
Thanks for having me.
Really enjoyed your time with us as well. So be sure to check out other upcoming events, replays of our interviews, other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. Find us on iTunes, SoundCloud. We'd love for you to subscribe so you don't miss anything. And Will, last note before we sign off here.
Yes. Where does the King of England keep his armies?
This is what we're ending on.
Where does the King of England keep his armies?
I didn't know this was a Jeopardy show.
I don't know.
All right,
in his sleeveys.
Oh. We're going to get that laugh track.
Dad joke.
Love that. Got to have dad jokes. So on behalf of Ben Harris, Will Haraway, Malcolm and the research team, the entire Supply Chain Now Radio team, this is Scott Luton wishing you a wonderful weekend and hope to see you next time on Supply Chain Now Radio.